Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Sure. Name of the race is Iditarod. Why not go to Iditarod? I haven't been there in a long time.
Welcome to the Iditapod, a podcast about the Iditarod that aims to take you out on the trail. I'm your host, Casey Grove. Before we head out, how about a word from our sponsor?
Support for Iditapod comes from Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, taking pride in its strong ties to Alaska's communities.
Well, everybody, the front runners made it into Ophir Wednesday morning. And all along the trail, mushers are starting to declare their 24-hour rests. As Iditarod mushers declare those rest stops, Girdwood's Nicholas Petit, he took second place last year, let me just remind you, he pushed back into the lead and reached the ghost town checkpoint of Ophir about 1 a.m. Wednesday. He was trailed by Two Rivers musher Allie Zirkel and Nenana's Jesse Holmes, but it appears, according to the GPS tracker, that Allie Zirkel, as I'm recording this Wednesday morning, is leading the Iditarod. It looks like she took off out of Ophir before Nicholas Petit. That is based on a look at the GPS tracker at Iditarod.com. As I'm recording this, the current standings in the race, that's the list of when mushers arrive and leave which checkpoints. That has not been updated to reflect that Allie is in the lead, but I believe that to be true. Anyway, the trio that had been leading the race, they declared their 24-hour rests immediately on pulling into Takotna. That is a nice place known for its pies and hospitality. I can tell you that firsthand. It's a little over 20 miles before the mushers reach Ophir. And the first one in there was defending champ Your Life Seth Olsom, followed by Jesse Royer and Pete Kaiser. So Tuesday night, a little after 7, Olsom led that first cluster of mushers into Takotna.
Declare my 24. Declare 24, all right.
Olsom's team parked in one of the choice spots for a long-term rest against the wall of the community hall away from the wind. About an hour later, Jesse Royer pulled in. Jesse said she always takes her 24 at Takotna, and her team has a little bit of a routine there.
They know where they're going. Okay. They're already headed to the church.
It's a quiet spot near the building where the mushers sleep, but unfortunately, the deep, fresh snow there was punchy, and the checkers were finding other areas to park dogs. For Royer, the decision to stop at Takotna is part of her overall race.
We ride 24 every year, so not a whole lot of thought behind it.
Mostly
just a really good spot for both the musher and dogs. I've been here enough that I kind of know where I want, where I like to stay, although apparently this year it's a little different. It's just so much more convenient here, so it's easy to take care of the dogs fast so I can get more sleep too.
A little while later, Pete Kaiser arrived, parking his dogs not far from Royer. And hot on his heels was Nick Petit, who was in the Takotna checkpoint for only a total of a minute and a half.
Is there a vet to sign my book?
Need a vet!
Need a vet!
Petit was in a rush. He was trying to get all his paperwork signed ASAP with a dog team that was so amped they were dragging the sled for about 24 feet at one point. His big headphones blasted music while his dogs yelped. They were eager to keep running. Zachariah Hughes was in Takotna giving us this report. He said it was pretty hectic. Petit took off before getting any of his drop bags or even a pre-made meal to take along with him.
Can you hold the brake?
Yeah.
Anything out of your bag? Nope.
So after they take their 24s, the mushers have another 8-hour rest they have to take at a checkpoint along the Yukon River, and then another mandatory stop in White Mountain. That's about 80 miles from the finish, so that's a long ways from now. There's a lot of strategy on where a musher takes their 24-hour rest, though. That mandatory stop, it's related to how the Iditarod corrects the musher's race times for that staggered start in Willow. Remember, they don't all just take off at once. Here's today's listener question. It comes to us all the way from England. Take it away, Morgan.
Hey, guys, it's Morgan from England. And my question is, if the mushers all have a staggered start time at the start of the race, how are the times manipulated so that when it comes to the finish line, it's the first musher over the line wins? Any help would be great. Cheers, guys. Bye.
It's a good question. Thanks, Morgan. We tossed this one to KNOM's Ben Matheson, who is good with numbers and math and things like that.
The short answer is that the start differential is made up at the 24-hour break. And the way the math works is that the musher who left Willow last, in this case bib number 53, Cindy Kalia, will rest exactly 24 hours. Mushers with lower bib numbers will be allowed to leave their 24-hour breaks, the equivalent of 2 minutes later for each bib place. So the first musher this year to have left Willow will rest a total of 25 hours and 42 minutes. The longer answer is that the different 24-hour breaks take place over 2 or 3 days in multiple locations. It becomes difficult to see who's up front and who's behind. And then there's daylight savings that takes place early Sunday morning during the race. So I hope everyone is ready to do some math.
Thanks for that, Ben. We appreciate your analytical mind. Speaking of which, Ben does a lot of work with data. You can find some of his work at benmatheson.github.io. Also, I want to mention our Twitter handles. Ben is simply at Ben Matheson, pretty easy. Zach Hughes is at Zach Hughes, AK. And I'm Casey Grove. That's KCGROVE. You can also find a lot more reporting at alaskapublic.org. That's kind of where we house all our stories and photos. Zach and Ben will be talking to more mushers here as they take those 24-hour rests. I'm interested to hear from Linwood Fiedler. I guess he hit a stump earlier in the race. His sled came unattached from his dogs, and Mats Pedersen actually towed his sled with him on it until in the dark they found Linwood's team, all of his dogs together, still tied together, kind of bunched up. He, in a video at Iditarod Insider, described very emotionally how he thought that there might be some damage to the team and running along by themselves, not pulling a sled and getting tangled and things. I've also seen some video and pictures of Richie Deal, who has kind of a black eye right now because as he was mushing along, he kind of looked away for a second and got hit in the face by a tree, was able to hang on to his sled. Still though, as of Wednesday morning here, we have a full field. Nobody has scratched yet. We have all 52 mushers still in the race. All those mushers are navigating through warm temperatures and sometimes inconsistent trails, though. They're racing deep into the heart of Alaska's interior. The teams are gearing up for the push through the emptiest parts of trail. You heard from an amped-up Nick Petit earlier, but we're going to go back to McGrath, back in time to Tuesday, and back to KNOM's Ben Matheson and his report from McGrath. Petit sounded a lot calmer there, feeding his dogs. He told Ben about his loose plan and about how he's been camping out a lot more in this year's Iditarod.
Right here.
Nick Petit was first into the McGrath checkpoint.
So, what's your plan?
I'm going to hang out here until I decide what my plan is.
Okay, sounds good.
Petit's afternoon arrival appears to mark the fastest trip to McGrath on the Iditarod books. And now that mushers are beginning to take their 24-hour rests at a checkpoint of their choosing, Petit was not speaking openly about his plans.
At least a couple, 3 hours. Okay. Maybe 24?
Yeah.
We'll see.
He parked in a secluded spot in the trees, one that the checkpoint crew typically saves for teams doing their 24-hour rest. For being the first to McGrath, Petit wins the Spirit of Iditarod Award with beaded beaver mitts and a musher hat sewn by McGrath residents. It was the first extended look for many of the Girdwood musher who's been camping the entire race and has not stopped in any checkpoint for more than a few minutes.
You know, Rainy Pass is a zoo. I can't get any rest when all the nice people are trying to talk to you. I mean, they're nice, but it's not really constructive.
He said in the past that he allows his team to run at the speed that they want to. In today's run, he said they reached a blistering 15 miles per hour, but his competition was moving fast too. While he rested in the late afternoon, three teams flew through the checkpoint. First was Yorleifsef Olsson.
Okay. Going through.
Okay.
Okay. Right there.
Jesse Royer and Pete Kaiser were next through. Allie Zirkel stopped for what she expected to be a few hours. She's been working hard to keep her team hydrated during warm daytime runs. She says the trail has alternated between good and soft.
For all the talk of there's tons of snow, it's going to be a slog, it hasn't been that bad. But things can always be badder, worse.
Into the third day of racing, mushers need to be thinking about taking care of their mental and physical state. something that Zirkle was determined to work on during her brief stopover.
The only thing I'm missing is sleep. I need to sleep a little bit. I've had the opportunity, and for some reason my body has been like, no, you're good. You don't need any. Which isn't true.
As for her 24 plans, she says she's going all the way to Iditarod this year, some 120 miles down the trail. When past champion Mitch Seavey arrived later in the evening, his decades of experience told him that something was different on the way in.
It felt like that was an extra long route.
It was an extra long route.
Just for me?
See, you're so rested.
That's because Iditarod Trailbreakers place the hundreds of reflective stakes along the Iron Dog snow machine route instead of the normal Iditarod Trail. That took teams on a long Oxbow bend of the Kuskokwim River, tacking on 8 more miles than mushers had planned. And plan as they may, it's now decision time on where to take their crucial 24-hour breaks and ready their teams for the long march to the Yukon River. For KNOM News, I'm Ben Matheson in McGrath.
So, sounds like the Iditarod Trail this year became maybe a little longer than usual, but that's the way it goes. They're doing their best out there trying to mark that trail and make sure that everybody stays on it. You heard from Nick Petit there in McGrath. That was earlier in the race, of course. We have an extended cut of that interview posted as a bonus episode here on the Iditapod. And there's one in the works with Ali Zirkle. I'll be putting that out here shortly today. It's really interesting to see her leading the race. Of course, women have won the Iditarod in the past. There was a long string of wins between Libby Riddles and Susan Butcher that led to the saying, Alaska, where the men are men, and women win the Iditarod. But a woman hasn't won the Iditarod since Susan Butcher did it in 1990. And of course, this year we have the highest percentage of women in the Iditarod. So maybe this is the year that we crown another female musher as champion. A lot of people out there rooting for Ali Zirkle from Two Rivers. She's mushing out in the lead as I record this. And she's finished in second 3 different times. A lot of good mushing from her in the past. She's got a top-notch dog team, and there's a lot of people that are pulling for her. As always, I want to remind the listeners to send us your questions about dog mushing or the Iditarod. You can type those out, send them to iditarod@alaskapublic.org. Or if you want a shot at trying to get on the podcast, you can open up your smartphone, find your voice memo app, record yourself asking the question, and then send that to iditarod@alaskapublic.org. We're loving all the great questions. We're going to be asking Musher some of these questions. Ben, Zach are answering some. We're going to try to check in with Quince Mountain at some point. He's out there snow machining along the Iditarod Trail. I'm very curious how he's doing. But for now, that is all the time we have. Our theme music, it's by the band Sassafras. I'm your host, Casey Grove, and until next time, happy trails.
I almost always 24 in Takotna, and you know, Alan and I were talking, and just kind of think we should shake it up a little. And I mean, obviously, I'm got one thing a little bit wrong, so sounds like a good shake up, huh?
I was gonna ask about a little bit of diarrhea I saw.
I'm doing fine, thank you for asking.